So just now, we have mentioned how the seven universes help consciousness in connective process. So the consciousness is compared to a car, car body, and the car's body. And mental factors is compared to, mental factors are compared to the gear, shift gear, the steering, the petrol, the brake, and so on. If the car, if there is a car body without shift gear, steering, petrol, can a car move forward? Cannot. So if you have gear here, one steering, one brake, one petrol, but no car body, can it goes forward? Cannot. So consciousness is like a car body. It needs mental factors in order to perform the function, in order in the cognitive process. It needs mental factors to understand well the object. And mental factors also cannot do their work without the arising of consciousness. And the story I mentioned just now, the Samawati burned the Paccekā Buddha. The Paccekā Buddha did not die, because at that time Paccekā Buddha was entering into 8 Samapatti. Was entering into Nirodha Samapatti, the cessation of attainment. So those, and only Anagami who has 8 attainment and Arahant who has 8 attainment can enter into this Nirodha Samapatti, attainment of cessation. And for those who enter into attainment of cessation, they cannot be burned. They cannot be burned. They cannot be killed. But that volition, the second time, the Queen Samawati did it with bad volition to kill him. That's why the karma was accumulated. The unwholesome karma was accumulated. Okay, now we come to 6 occasionals. It is called occasionals because it's not. It does not arise with all types of consciousness. It only arises with certain types of consciousness. Not like 7 universes. 7 universes must arise with all types of consciousness. 6 occasionals only arise with certain types of consciousness. So what are the 6? Let us read together. Initial application of mind, sustained application of mind, decision, energy, rapture, desire. Okay. What is the characteristic of initial application of mind, vitakka? Application of the mind to the object, or placing the mind to the object. Now, place your mind to the object is called vitakka. The function is to strike the object. The manifestation, leading of the mind onto the object. When this vitakka is developed, it becomes the jhana factor. It becomes one of the jhana factors. Number 2, sustained application of mind. The characteristic is continued pleasure on the object. The function, sustaining application of associated mental state on the object. The manifestation, anchoring of associated mental state in the object. When the vitakka place the mind on the object, vichara, sustained application of mind, vichara, continually examining that object. And vitakka and vichara, sustained application of mind, these two are jhana factors. Vitakka and vichara, these two are jhana factors. So what's the difference? The vitakka is like bees diving towards a flower. Vitakka, application of mind, diving towards the flower. And vichara is like bees buzzing above the flower. So this is the difference. But you may think that then vitakka must arise first, then vichara later. No, you should not think like that. All mental factors arise together, cease together. But according to the order of teaching, we must tell one by one. Okay? Just like contact. Or you may think, only contact arises first, feeling follow after. No, it's not like that. All must arise together. But according to the order of teaching, we must tell Vitaka first, Vichara later. Number three, decision. The characteristic of decision is conviction, the firm state of mind free from wavering, which makes the conclusion just this one. The function is not to grope. Manifestation as decisiveness, and is compared to a stone pillar owing to its unshakable resolve regarding the object. Now, this is easy to understand. The next one, energy. The characteristic of energy is supporting, exertion, and marshalling. The function is to support associated mental state, as an old house stands when supported by new pillar. So when you come to meditation, sometimes your head start to bend forward, backward. Why? Because of lack of energy. So at that moment, if you put little bit, increase little bit energy, then the energy perform the function to support you. Just like old house can stand when it's supported by the new pillars. And the manifestation of energy is not collapse, so your body becomes straight again, not collapse. And the proximate cause for energy, a sense of urgency of all grounds for the initiation of energy, such as birth, old age, and death. And just like a story happened during Buddha's time. There was one monk was caught by a robber, and this robber wanted to kill him. And the monk told him, "Please give me one more night." And the robber said, "No. If I give you one more night, you may run away." Okay. Then the monk took a big stone and break his both knees, and told the robber, "Okay, now I have broken my knees. I cannot run away. Please give me one more night." Okay, robber said, "Okay, I will kill you tomorrow." So this monk, these are the proximate cause. The monk reflect. He feel very shameful to die with the defilement intact in his mind. Because he's still Puddhojana, still wording. He feel very shameful, die with defilements, with all the corrupted mind. So he strive very hard, and he reflect birth, old age, and death. He strive very hard. So next day morning, before the robber came, he became Arahan. This is called effort, viriya. Viriya. That's why when rightly initiated, this energy of viriya should be regarded as the root of all achievements. Another monk come from very wealthy family. And because he come from very wealthy family, his soul is so gentle, supple, gentle. After he ordained become a monk, he strive very hard. People went to sleep, he never go to sleep. If he feel drowsy, he will do walking meditation. So when he did walking meditation, because too much walking, his soul was breathing. When you walk until your soul is breathing, what will you do? Go and lie down on the bed. But this monk never do that. Now cannot walk already, what to do? Crawling. So he do crawling meditation. But can any posture can do, as long as your mindfulness, you keep your mindfulness. So when you do the crawling meditation, at that time, unfortunately, there was a hunter, I think, in the dark. So saw a creature. He thought a creature is crawling. It must be an animal. So he strike him with the spike. It's called spike?
Spear.
It strike him with a spear. Even then, this monk taking that pain as object and contemplate vipassana and reach arahantship, if I'm not mistaken. So this is called effort, right effort. When rightly initiated, energy should be regarded as the root of all achievements. So if you have not yet achieved your goal, maybe you are lacking effort. So to arouse your effort, sometimes you should reflect. Falling down into four woeful states. So if you reflect, if you are afraid of falling down into four woeful states in a future life, then you will have more effort in your meditation. But sometimes say, I'm not sure whether got future life for four woeful states or not. Okay. The next one, joy or rapture. Joy. The characteristic of joy is pleasurable interest of mind towards the object or the satisfaction. The function is to pervade or to thrill with rapture, to refresh body, both body and mind. And a manifestation as elation, such as lightness of the body, as if their body were lifted in the air. This one you can experience very clearly in your meditation. Sometimes your concentration is good. You feel that you are lifted in the air. This is the manifestation of pity, joy. Or sometimes you may feel like goose pimple. Even sometimes when we listen to the Dharma talk, we feel the goose pimple, you know, on the skin. This is also a sign, a manifestation of pity, joy. What is the difference between joy or happiness? In the jhana, first jhana, we have initial application of mind, sustained application of mind, joy, happiness, and one-pointedness. So what's the difference between joy and happiness? Joy is the just like a traveler who is very tired and thirsty. So when you come to a place, suddenly he hear the sound of water. So at that moment, he has joy. The moment he hear the sound of water, he has joy. Then he go and take some water and drink it. The moment he drink it, he has happiness. Now this is the difference between joy and happiness. Joy is the pleasurable interest towards the object. The happiness is really experience it. And joy is, we have five aggregates. Material aggregate, consciousness aggregate, feeling aggregate, perception aggregate, and consciousness aggregate. Joy belongs to formation aggregate. Happiness belongs to feeling aggregate. So it's not the same. Whenever there is joy, there is happiness. But when there is happiness, it's not necessarily has joy. For example, number fourth jhana, without joy, but has happiness. The next one, desire, chanda. The characteristic of desire is to act, desire to act or achieve some result. The function is searching for an object, and a manifestation as need for an object. This desire is different from greed. Greed is necessarily unwholesome, but desire can be wholesome and can be unwholesome. It's a mere will to do. Like archer pick up the arrow, I want to shoot, but it does not attach to the arrow. This is called desire. The greed is attached to the arrow, but the desire just pick up the arrow, does not attach to it. This is called desire. And when desire is developed to the utmost degree, it becomes one of the four means to accomplishment. Example, out of the dispensation of Buddha Kassapa's time. There's one king called King Dhammasonda. He has very strong desire to listen one stanza of the teaching of the Buddha. Just one stanza. Maybe Sabbe Sankhara Anicca. just one stanza. So he has very strong desire to listen just one stanza of Buddha's teaching. But no one can preach to him, because at that time the dispensation of the Kassapa Buddha has already exhausted. So he was very unhappy. In order to look for a person who can preach him a stanza of Buddha's teaching, he abandoned his kingdom. He was a king. So he abandoned his kingdom and roamed about in the country, just look for a stanza of Buddha's teaching. Now this is called desire, a strong desire. Now you have been listening to how many stanzas? Nearly 3 hours stanzas. And still, maybe still unmoved. That's why we cannot achieve, we cannot achieve very distinguished result, because our desire is not strong. If your desire is strong now, you already like me. So now, let us go through all the six again. Initial application of mind, sustained application of mind, decision, energy, rupture, desire. Okay, so these six are called six occasional because they arise only with particular types of consciousness and not with all. For example, initial application and sustained application are excluded from the third jhana consciousness and other higher jhanas, because of their grossness. And decision is excluded from the doubting consciousness. We have one consciousness rooted in, associated with doubt. So this type of consciousness cannot be associated with decision, because a decision cannot be made while the mind is obstructed by doubt. Okay, now we have finished all the 13. Okay, I should continue tomorrow. Any question? Is it difficult? Difficult. I already try very hard to make it simple.
So please feel free to ask any questions. For recording, I shall repeat it into this microphone, whatever you ask.
Asians are not encouraged to ask questions. American, since young, they are encouraged to ask questions. You must ask why, how. Ask this when I give talk in America, the question come, whatever question they ask, they never think whether it suit the topic or not, whether it is, you know, they ask all types of questions. But it's also very good, very challenging. And if you can answer them satisfactorily, then they have a lot of faith to you. Okay, this one. Another one is... Okay.
Sorry. Okay. I shall repeat the questions for recording. So the question is, just now Sally mentioned that there are four items that the Buddha regard as inconjecturables. The one of them that Sally has brought up was the law of karma, the workings of the karma. And what are the other three?
Another one is psychic power. Psychic power. How a monk can fly in the sky, you know? How a monk can step on the water, on the ocean, without falling down? All this psychic power. How a monk can stretch his hand and touch the moon? All this psychic power is that you cannot imagine. And you should not think about it. If you think about it, you will become crazy. That's what Buddha said. Another one is the knowledge of the Buddha. That is also beyond your comprehension. And the last one is, I think, how the world comes. How you know, the world comes, about the world. These four things you should not think about. Any other question? Okay, I think I should not force you to ask.
Sandy, I have one question.
Okay.
Just now you mentioned that there are seven universes, and one of them is Chaitanya Volition.
Yes, right.
So in an arahant with functional chittas,
yes,
is there volition?
That volition become functional. If volition accompanied with unwholesome consciousness, it accumulates karma. If volitions accompanied with wholesome karma, wholesome consciousness, it also accumulates wholesome karma. If volition accompanied with resultant consciousness, then it's resultant. It cannot become wholesome and unwholesome. And if it accompanied functional, then it becomes functional. There's no karma involved.
There's a question from the other room that's written down. The question is related to the five aggregates of clinging: form, feeling, perception, volitional formations, and consciousness. There are only three of the chetasikas. Where are the other mental factors not part of the five aggregates?
Okay, very good. In Abhidhamma, we only mention four ultimate truths. Do you remember? One is called consciousness, mental factors, and matter. Vibhana is out of five aggregates. Okay. So in the five aggregates, we have five aggregates: material aggregate, feeling aggregate, perception aggregate, formation aggregate, and consciousness aggregate. So in Abhidhamma, there are three. Matter belong to material aggregate. Consciousness belong to consciousness aggregate. And cetasika, in Abhidhamma we have another one cetasika. In cetasika we have 52. We have feeling. This feeling belong to feeling aggregate. And we have perception. We have studied already. This perception belongs to perception aggregate. The remaining 50 exclude feeling and perception. The remaining 50 belong to formation aggregates.
Okay. Yes.
What is the difference between desire, chanda, and craving?
Between desire and craving.
Sorry. The question is, what is the difference between desire, chanda, and craving?
Okay, as I said, desire can be arise accompanied with wholesome consciousness or unwholesome consciousness. But tanha or craving must arise with unwholesome consciousness. This is one of the difference. Another difference is desire does not attach to the object, but tanha attach very much to the object. Like a meat, stick to the hot pan, very sticky. Desire has no that sticky nature. And desire can be good or bad, but tanha must necessarily bad. This is different. Okay, no more. Okay, then let us continue tomorrow. Okay? Transfer merit. We can recite together. Eta vata cha ammehi sampadang punya sampadang sabbe deva anumodantu Sabba sampati siddhiya Ita vata cha ammehi Sampadang punya sampadang Sabbe deva anumodantu Sabba sampati siddhiya Ita vata cha ammehi Sampadang punya sampadang Sabbe sata anumodantu
Sabba sampati siddhiya.
Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.
Thank you. See you tomorrow.
Thank you, Sam.